In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Tuesday, March 24th, 2015 AD. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. It's official now. Senator Ted Cruz is in the 2016 race for the President of the United States. He announced his candidacy at Liberty University yesterday, promising to defend religious freedoms in this country. Cruz was one of the most outspoken opponents of Obamacare and promises to abolish the Internal Revenue Service, replacing it with a flat tax. He is the first candidate to declare in the race. Fear tactics are the name of the game for ISIS. The organization has issued a list of the names of 100 U.S. military personnel assigned to assassination for members of the terrorist organization. This shouldn't bother the righteous. The wicked flees when no man pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Pressures mount against Jews living in Europe. An angry mob attacked a synagogue in London over the weekend, smashing windows and calling out, "Kill the Jews!" This follows recent attacks in Paris and Copenhagen. According to the BBC, incidents of violence and threats have doubled since last year. The Atlantic magazine is asking, is it time for the Jews to leave Europe? Romans 10:1 says, quote, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved," unquote. And we would add, safe. Christian News reports another Christian organization was kicked off the college campus for good behavior. Cal State University at Stanislaus ejected Chi Alpha from the campus last week for refusing to allow non-Christians to hold leadership positions in the group. The organization joins a growing number of Christian clubs ejected from campuses across America. Chi Alpha's published mission is to, quote, "reconcile students to Christ, equipping them through spirit-filled communities of prayer, worship, fellowship, discipleship, and mission to transform the university, the marketplace, and the world," unquote. Heads up, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. 2 Timothy 3:12. Government intervention in medical care is squeezing out the little guy. According to the Washington Post, 48 rural hospitals have closed since 2010, and 283 are on the brink of closing their doors. Is the centralization of medical care a prelude to more government involvement? We asked that question of Dr. Tom Kendall, president of the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons.
I believe there was an intention from the start to further engage the small cities, the small rural facilities, to a greater dependence upon Washington, a greater dependence upon federal funds, so that in time, the control of these hospitals would fall under the dominion of the central government.
Tom Kendall will be speaking at the Christian Family Medical Care and Elder Care Conference this week in Denver, Colorado. Bob Jones III has apologized several days after receiving a request for an apology from BJ Unity, a group for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender people affected by fundamentalist Christianity. The statement made by the former Bob Jones University president in 1980 referenced the death penalty for murderers and homosexuals. Quote, "It would not be a bad idea to bring the swift justice today that was brought in Israel's day against murder and rape and homosexuality," unquote. Without apology, the Apostle Paul was clear on the matter. Quote, "For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions. For their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. And the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another. Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die," unquote. Romans 1:27-32. Ron Reagan, the son of the former president, does not fear God, and he is, quote, "not afraid of burning in hell," unquote. At least that's what he says on a TV ad for the Freedom From Religion Foundation, playing now on CNN. "I perceive you speak too loudly in your denial." Romans 1:18-19 says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. A Christian woman who made news when she wrote an open letter to a cancer patient intent on taking her own life passed away over the weekend. Kara Tippett, 38 years of age, succumbed to terminal cancer on Sunday in Colorado Springs. Brittany Maynard had taken her own life with more of a national media fanfare on November 1, 2014, at 29 years old. But Kara Tippett's last blog entry ended with, quote, "I'm going to be with Jesus. There is grace that will seep into all the cracks and pain places when we don't understand. In the places we don't understand, we get to seek. And how lovely is one seeking truth. Stunning," unquote. By contrast, Brittany Maynard's last words, quoted in People magazine, was full of terror and dread. Quote, "Being able to choose to go with dignity is less terrifying," unquote. Less terrifying? In the words of the Apostle Paul, "I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain." And that's the World View in 5 minutes on this Tuesday, March 24th, 2015 AD. I'm Adam McManus.
Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson here, your host. Homeschool father of five, raising our kids here in Eastern Plains of Colorado. Bill Jack, also in studio today, as we take a look at what's happening with our country. We ended the previous show talking about what the Obama administration has done in releasing 30,000 prisoners. Add to that 36,000 prisoners from the previous year. I'm still recovering from this. I thought I was reading The Onion, and I come to find out this is the Washington Post. And I'm thinking to myself, I cannot believe what I'm reading here. 66,000 convicts have been released onto the streets, Bill. And apparently 193 homicide. We're talking about murderers and rapists on the streets. They just let them out. There's not enough room for them. Has somebody forgot the purpose of government in the United States of America? I don't recall a time in America's history in which they released 193 murderers and did so on the instruction of the administration of the President of the United States. No. This isn't The Onion, is it?
No, this sounds like a plot from a Chuck Norris movie from 1985 called Invasion USA.
Yeah. It sounds like that, yeah. I don't know what to say. I thought the purpose of government... Are they saying, you know, we decided that the purpose of government is to fund my vacation trips to Hawaii?
Hey, I wish they'd funded mine.
Or
no, yeah. That's not the
answer. The purpose of government is to be a terror to evil works, to execute wrath upon him that does evil. In other words, he's got a right. The President of the United States has a right to his position because he is a minister of God. There's no other reason, there's no other basis for that man being a leader in this country.
Yeah.
There's no other basis for us respecting his leadership but that he's a minister of God. And God gives him his job description in Romans 13, and that is to be a minister of God to execute wrath upon him that does evil. He is not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Increasingly, the federal government is more of a terror to good works than to evil.
Now, makes them evil.
Yeah, not obviously to the ultimate degree, but to a significant degree. And this is what yields a nation that is not governable. This is what eventually leads a nation that gives way to total anarchy. Or criminals running amok on the streets.
Which then gives rise to vigilantism,
right.
Which then gives rise to what? Tyranny.
Which gives rise to more anarchy, which gives rise to more tyranny,
right.
Which eventually gives rise to the dissolution of society as we know it.
Right.
Now, I'm not saying it's happened, but the trajectory has been set by our leaders to accomplish just that. So, friends, I just want you to understand what is happening right now with United States political sphere.
Now, we're going to turn the corner and look at the economic situation in America, which isn't all that good either.
This is full of good news, aren't you?
Well, this is the trajectory, and here's the reason why. We'll get to that in just a moment, but blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And America is more and more a nation not for the Lord, not even sort of neutral concerning the Lord, but rabidly
hostile
to the Lord. And that will not bode well if Jesus Christ is Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and you can bet on that. You can take that all the way to the bank. He is. And yes, it's true that the mills of God grind slowly, but very fine. And so you can believe that Jesus may not act immediately in judgment, but he does. He does. Okay, so here's Newsmax commenting on the Associated Press's comments on the economy. And they point out the Associated Press is finally admitting that critical pieces of the economy remain troubled almost 6 years into the recovery from the last recession.
Wow.
Now, we're supposed to be in recovery. But a lot of economists now, including the AP, Associated Press, guy named by the name of Josh Boak, are admitting that, yeah, critical pieces of the economy remain very troubled almost 6 years into the recovery. So our economic recovery not happening. And the main reason for this, of course, is the debt. And there's a concern, there's a fair amount of volatility in the stock market right now. I've seen a number of articles on that. And the volatility is probably due to the fact that the economic recovery has not happened. And there's a lot of fear that the Fed may do something with interest rates in June. Now, here again is the fundamental problem. Forbes magazine lists the seven worst nations for economic health in the country. This article about 3 months ago. Out of 200 nations, the seven worst nations in the world, the worst nation in the world, the most troubled nation in terms of economic health is Japan. Number two is Greece. No surprise there. Number three is Italy.
No surprise there.
Number four, Portugal. Number five, Singapore. And then number six is the United States of America. And it's important to also realize that the two largest economies in the world are some of the most troubled economies in the world. For the big dominoes they are, they're doing very, very poorly. And as you know, these dominoes affect other dominoes as well. The four steepest descents over the last 10 years. So that this is my stat based upon the data that I took off of Forbes magazine article. The four steepest descents over the last 10 years. These are the nations that's gotten worse and worse and worse. They're headed down as fast as they possibly can. They're in economic decline big time. The four worst nations in the world for economic descent or decline are Greece, number one, number two, Portugal, number three, Japan, and number four, the United States of America. So America is in the top four nations in the world for being in the worst shape in terms of their economic decline over the last 10 years. Now, over the last 6 years of the last 10 years, we were supposed to be in an economic recovery. Right. We come out of the recession, supposed to be in a recovery. If we wind up in another recession, this is the concern. If you don't quite recover from your last recession, you have a second recession, you're going to be far worse off than you were with the first recession.
You know why?
That's the concern of economists.
It's like getting the flu and then having a relapse.
Yeah, it is. And that's a huge concern.
So, Kevin, here's the question.
Yeah.
You're full of good news today.
Okay. Thanks.
So here's the question that is on our listeners' minds, I'm sure, right now. It's on their lips. What is a Christian to do?
Some trust in princes, some in chariots, some in horses, but we will trust in the Lord our God. That's a solution. That's not complicated. That's rather straightforward. I don't think there's anything we don't have to exposit that. We just have to say, if you've been worshiping money and politics, the state and the Federal Reserve to save us from our economic woes, you're worshiping the wrong God.
There is the recent book by Huckabee. What is it?
God's Guns, Guts,
yeah.
Gits, and
Gold. And
Old.
Yeah. And Barbecue.
Yeah. And that's not going to save us either. But we do know that we should trust in the Lord our God. Okay. Best countries in the world. I thought you were going to ask me about the best countries.
No. I'm so depressed.
No, there's some good countries.
So
the best countries.
I'm on kayak.com. I'm going to get tickets to the best countries right now.
Okay. You're not going to like this. Best countries in the world for debt to GDP ratio? Muslim countries. Saudi Arabia and Iran.
So we're all going to be missionaries.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
And Chile. Chili?
Yeah.
Chili.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Now why?
I did a program called The Most Evil Nations. It's called the Evil Index. I did this about a year ago. And I did also, I looked at murder and abortion and persecution of Christians, and, you know, the whole thing.
Right.
And I put it on a matrix, and I found that the best nation in the world was Chile. Isn't that interesting?
That is.
Now, it turns out I didn't even look at the debt-to-GDP ratio.
Because, you know, a lot of people are fleeing to Central America countries.
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
You know?
Well, I have friends in Chile. Left America. America was a tyranny. They didn't like the IRS, the way they treated them, and whatever. And so they wound up in Chile. I know people.
But, is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
But Chile, that is fascinating.
There's an expatriate to...
there's a community down there.
Communities. And they also produce websites that encourage other Americans to move towards Chile. Yeah.
Wow.
But let's just remember that our responsibility is to disciple the nations,
mm-hmm.
plural, and there are roughly 200 nations in the world.
And God has put us here.
Here. You got it.
For such a time as this. Oh, that's echoing Esther, isn't it?
And even if you're reduced to a studio in a basement out on the eastern plains of Colorado,
at least you have a secure door on the studio.
and we're reaching tens of thousands of people by way of the internet, so we're making progress here. You realize we are downloaded in all 50 states.
No kidding.
And some 100-plus nations around the world.
And Chile.
And Chile. Yeah. Oh, yeah, they listen to us. I'm sure they tune into us. The United States. Let's take a look at the United States just for a little bit here. So what happened? Why did America become the fourth worst nation in the world, economically speaking, and heading towards what may be a massive depression in just a few years from now? Why? What has happened? Well, here's a little history. America started out with a debt-to-GDP ratio of 32% in 1980. Okay, you writing this down? Go ahead, Bill. You can write it down. 1980, when Ronald Reagan was won that election with a landslide victory. Remember the front page of Time magazine? I still remember it. I kept a copy of it when I was 16 years old. He inherited a nation with a 32% debt to GDP ratio. Not bad. One of the strongest nations in the world when it came to debt to GDP ratio. Reagan contributed 20% to the 32%, which lifted us to 52. And unfortunately, Reagan was one of the worst. Then Bush Sr. contributed another 13%. Then with the Clinton administration, he improved things. It went negative 9.7%, so he actually improved things by negative 9.7%. By the way, Carter did something like negative 2 or 3% as well. It was Reagan and Bush Sr. that got us started on the spending track.
Wow.
And then you get into the 2000s, and Bush Jr. did a record-breaking 27.8% addition on the debt-to-GDP ratio
in the
2000s.
I knew that.
And Obama added an additional 20%, and he may be up towards 26, 27% by the time he's done. So that's how you get to 103% from 32% over a period of 30 years. We have slipped a whopping 47% on the debt-to-GDP ratio in just the last 14 years. Under Bush and Obama, we have slipped to the sixth worst nation in the world. The debtor is servant to the lender, and that's pretty much the way it goes. Now, there are people out there going, no, wait. The problem is the government. But I'm going to contend that the problem is not the government. The problem is us. We elect these people to be in charge, whether Republican or Democrat. And it doesn't matter so much whether Republican or Democrat when it comes to the spending frenzies we see in Washington these days. Let's take the average church congregation where 80% of the congregation are in debt. I'm talking mortgage, I'm talking credit card. My guess is the average debt-to-earnings ratio, debt-to-annual earnings ratio of the average church attender in America is probably somewhere around 300%. Now, if your debt-to-earnings ratio is somewhere around 300% and you're a little upset with the federal governments being somewhere around 103%, I'd say maybe we should take care of things ourselves in our own backyard before we start criticizing a government that's doing exactly the same thing.
You point a finger at somebody else, there's always 3%.
Pretty much.
So there's 100% government, 300% towards you.
Pretty much, yep. It's about that ratio.
Oh.
It's about that ratio. Okay, well, I just want to bring it home because, you know what, we get the leaders we deserve and, you know,
because we're a government of the people.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's
for the people, by the people.
Now, here's, I think, the way I want to close out this segment of the program. Forbes magazine explains the debt to GDP ratio's effect upon the future of this nation. Thus, at the end of the article, Here's what they say. However, if these nations, United States, Japan, Greece, and Italy, if these nations have been incurring debt to meet obligations, and if economic growth doesn't return soon, we could see a global shock as countries fail to meet debt obligations. In essence, this could be a ticking time bomb or a slow path to recovery. Only time will tell. And I will say it has a whole lot to do with the character of a people either willing to live off of their kids and grandkids or willing to tighten their belt and sacrifice a little for their kids and for their grandkids in the next generation. And here's Deuteronomy 28:15. It shall come to pass that if you will not hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, to observe to do all his commandments, his statutes, which I command you this day, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Cursed you will be in the city. Cursed you will be in the field. Cursed your basket, your store. The stranger that is within you shall get up above you very high. You shall come down very low. He shall lend to you, and you shall not lend to him. He shall be the head, and you shall be the tail. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon you, and shall pursue you, and overtake you, till you be destroyed, because you hearken not unto the voice of the Lord your God. I wonder if the demise of this country has anything to do with not observing God's commandments. I'm just throwing that out there.
Yep.
2 plus 2 equals 2 plus 2 equals.
Okay, I got new math. Okay, I did the new math.
Not keeping God's commandments equals.
Yeah. Hosea 4:1-3 says, the Lord has a quarrel with the people living in the land because nobody in the land is faithful and kind or knows God. That is why the country dries up and everything in it languishes. The animals in the fields and the birds in the sky, even the fish in the sea are taken away.
Well, yep, that's pretty much it. Assuming, of course, that God exists, which we do, and he holds nations to account,
yep,
which we believe.
So what is the conclusion? The
conclusion is
this.
Fear God, keep his commandments.
That's exactly right.
The whole duty of man.
It's Ecclesiastes 12:13.
You got it, man. You got it. We'll be back in just a moment more on the Generations Broadcast. The mark of a good father, according to Jesus in Matthew 7:11, is that he knows how to give good gifts to his children. He would not give his child a stone or a serpent. He would give him that which is nutritious and helpful. Now, Christian parents, if you're like me, you are constantly on the search for good gifts for your children. You're probably tired of cheap China junk and expensive toys that break within a month or two. That's why the Generation staff has spent the last 6 months scouring magazines, checking out samples, interviewing Christian parents, and identifying the very best books for our children. We look for creative presentations, substantive messages, biblical integrity, identifiable characters, and riveting stories. We have sponsored a child picture book contest called Nurturing Little Hearts, and we begin to publish the very best of children's books over the next year or two. But find good gifts for your children. That's a really good thing. We have an entire new section of children's book selections at our website for good gifts that you can get for your kids. Find it at generationswithvision.com. That's generationswithvision.com. Back on the Generations Radio Broadcast, this is Kevin Swanson talking about the future of the human socialist state here in America. Not good. Bad worldview under the concrete foundation, no rebar, big problems.
A lot of termite.
You got it. Now, it turns out the humanists tend to be very optimistic about their abilities to scientifically manipulate the economy and scientifically manipulate the genetic makeup of the human being, et cetera, et cetera. And they're very, very optimistic about the future. Here's a Bloomberg article talking about Bill Maris, who happens to be president of Google Ventures. Here's the quote. If you ask me today, is it possible to live to be 500? The answer is yes. Bill Maris says, one January afternoon in Mountain View, California. And they talk about how excited he is about the future. He is, likes the book Singularity is Near, When Humans Transcend Biology, a seminal work by futurist Ray Kurzweil. He famously predicted that in 2045, humankind will have its Terminator moment. The rise of computers will outpace our ability to control them. To keep up, we will radically transform our biology via nanobots and other machines that will enhance our anatomy and our DNA, changing everything about how we live and die. Here's Maris. 20 years ago, without genomics, you could only treat cancer with a poison. It's really different from we can cure cancer by reverse engineering a stem cell. And on it goes. He says we're on the very verge of what science and technology can do. We probably won't live forever, but we could live much longer and better. That's really the essence of the article from Bloomberg.
Because they're optimistic about man.
They're very optimistic about what man can do.
They have a terrible view of the nature of man.
Yeah.
And no view of the nature of God.
Yep. And what's funny is that they're very, very optimistic what man can do, and yet they wind up blowing it every time.
Yeah. You think they'd figure this one out.
Sort of a Tower of Babel thing.
It is.
It's the same kind of
thing. And you know what the technology at the Tower of Babel time was? Bricks.
Yeah.
You know what it is now?
Pretty much bricks.
Oh, it's more bricks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's nanobots. We call them nanobots.
Bricks, and they got steel, they got rebar in them now.
Yeah.
Time magazine, remember the 2045, the year man turns immortal? It came out, what was it, February 10th, 2011? Well, it's about 4 years ago. They better get on it. Time's a ticking.
Immortal by 2025, will man still be alive?
By 2045, I'm hoping to get resurrected, Bill.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to be resurrected by 2045. You think I want to hang around this sin-cursed, painful, disease-ridden world indefinitely? I don't think so. By the year 2045, hey, it's resurrection. Now, there's several reasons why we're not going to be saved by science. I want to talk about this. The first reason is longevity. Most of longevity has come by closed sewers following biblical cleanliness laws and not really by medicine,
right,
it turns out.
Right.
You know, that's...
You know, just think how people's lifespans have been extended by the invention of glass.
We're at 79 right now.
Yeah.
Let me read. You know what the average life expectancy was in roughly 1400 B.C.?
I think it was Israel. Okay.
In Israel.
Okay. Well, I know what it was in Egypt.
I'll give it to you.
35.
I'll give it to you. Psalm 90. This is Moses.
Mm-hmm.
Moses is writing in 1400 B.C. For all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. Something I did not read in the Bloomberg article, by the way.
Oh.
Nothing about God. Nothing about God's
wrath.
Well,
maybe they had to edit that out.
The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. Okay, so that's... Now, the average lifespan in America today, 79.
Mm-hmm.
So, now, you would think over 3,400 years...
We'd be doing a little better than that.
You know, we'd be able to get over 80.
Yeah.
You know, as an average.
Do you know what it was during the time
worldwide,
of
worldwide, I think it's down around 68 or something.
Yeah. Did you know during the time of the Egyptian pharaohs, it was 35 you were old? I know that makes me ancient, but that makes you middle-aged.
Yeah, but here's something a lot of people understand. If you eliminate the infant mortality rate,
mm-hmm.
the numbers change.
Okay.
So the numbers change actually quite dramatically in a lot of societies
right.
where they study because you've got an infant mortality rate. We're still living just about as long as they were living in many other societies.
Mm-hmm.
And I think cleanliness laws is a big part of it.
Oh, certainly is.
Yeah. Okay. Also, before the flood, they were living longer.
Yes.
So, and that,
and there's
before
some,
all
there's
the modern
some,
technology.
There's some theories about that.
Yeah.
You know, all kinds of theories as to why the longevity suddenly plummeted after the flood.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because there was a radical alteration of the physical world.
Well, are we going to be able to extend life expectancy if we haven't done very much with it outside of incorporating cleanliness laws over the last 100 years or so? That's my question. And here's another issue. We are eating ourselves to death in this country. We have a little problem called idolatry and sin and STDs and alcoholism, gluttony. You know, Colorado's the thinnest state in America.
Mm-hmm. I did know that.
But did you know that it's fatter than the fattest state in America was in 1990?
Really?
Yeah.
What was the fattest state?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
It's like Mississippi. It's down in the south.
Hawaii
somewhere.
Would be up there too, baby.
Yeah.
There are some big dinners out
Here's
there.
Here's Harvard.edu. In 1990, obese adults made up less than 15% of the population of most U.S. states. By 2010, 36 states had obesity rates of 25% or higher, and 12 of those had obesity rates of 30% or higher. Today, nationwide, roughly 2 out of 3 United States adults are overweight or obese, and 1 out of 3 is obese. While U.S. obesity rates have overall stayed steady since 2003, the rates are still rising in some groups, and disparities persist. Okay, here's another problem. Murder and war. So far, humanists have not figured out a way to get rid of murder and war. Now, humanism had its heyday in the 19th century, and then they brought it all to bear in the 20th century.
What's deadliest century in the history of
it? It would have been the 20th century.
Yes, it was.
The century in which the humanists were able to gain as much control as possible and bring about their ideas as well as they possibly could. And we're talking about hundreds of millions of dead bodies as a result of that. And do remember that World War II itself, 80 million people died in that humanist war. And that constitutes about 4 to 5% of the world's population. So, again, you're going to have to figure out a way to deal with the sin and the wrath and the anger and the malice, the works of the flesh that lurk in the hearts of men. So, see, this is yet another problem that Ray Kurzweil has to deal with. And I don't think Ray is dealing with it. There's another problem, and that is the Frankensteinian science thing. You know, Frankenstein develops weapons of mass destruction. He plays with genetics in weird ways, and he comes up with solutions. Now, when Frankenstein comes up with solutions, Bill, I take a look at the solutions and say, I don't really consider those to be solutions. I consider those to be more problems. Are you with me here?
I am.
Science can be a double-edged sword. And when humanists control science, they come up with really neat ways to wipe out most of the populations on planet Earth. You know, they're really good at this kind of thing. Why? Because they're humanists, and they don't do science in the fear of God. And I got an issue with that. So again, the Frankensteinian thing is a problem, and the reason, of course, is the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. They have all gone out of the way. There's none righteous, no, not one. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. That's default, my friends. That's default. And that's the anthropology that Bill was mentioning earlier in the show. These guys have a huge confidence in humanist man,
yep,
proving himself to make the better man, to develop himself in a whole new way, and sadly, starting with a heart that's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, it's not going to work out very well.
Nope.
All right. Well, and then there's one last reason why we're not going to live to 500 years of age, and that is God.
That's probably the number one reason.
It is, yeah. God.
Yeah.
You know, what did he do with the Tower of Babel?
Yeah, he dispersed them.
Kaboom.
Yep. Dropped it. What happened after the flood?
Kaboom.
Yep. The longevity of people went from 120 right after the flood down to 70.
Yep.
And God says your days are numbered.
Yep. And it hasn't improved since then.
Your days are numbered.
Yep. It hasn't improved since then.
Man knows not his time.
It is appointed once for man to
die.
And after that,
the judgment.
That's right. Okay. All right. So that's what the Word of God says. And Ray Kurzweil would do well to read it.
Yes. Because I don't think I'm going to read his book.
And so would Bill Maris.
Yeah, they should read the
President
book
of Google. Ought to read that book. Okay, my friends, we're clean out of time. What we do know, that God will save us.
And
we're going to trust
man
in God.
Is out of time without God.
That's right. Better not trust in horses,
no,
princes, or the chariots, either way. Or even Bill Maris and his $500 billion.
Time is on my side. No, it's not.
No, it's not.
No, it's not.
Yeah, there's judgment. That's not on your side. But Jesus Christ is on our side as we embrace him, believe in him, trust in him. And he came to save the world. And he will save us from our sins and the effects of it.
That's why, the singularity right
that
there.
That is why I'm looking forward to resurrection in the year 2045. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the Generations Radio broadcast. You can interact with the show by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. You can hear the show anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. Get your friends and family members to tune into this. Hey, especially the Worldview in 5 minutes. We put a lot of work. We have a team of 7 working on that project. And every morning at 5 a.m., no matter where you are in the United States of America or around the world, you get a copy of 5 minutes of what's happening around the world from the perspective of the Word of God. We deal with just about every aspect of life on Earth in 5 minutes, updating you on what's happening with persecutions, what's happening with the wars of the humanists, what's happening in sports culture, you name it. You get it in 5 minutes with Worldview in 5 minutes every day on this program. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.